Thank you, Jennifer. Well, we're glad to have Dr. Roger Green with us all the way from now through Sunday. We almost didn't get him in here in time tonight. He had a couple of hour delay, but he made it, and we appreciate his being here with us. Dr. Green pastored the Grace Baptist Church in Middletown, Ohio for 23 years, did a tremendous job there. Middletown is sort of between Cincinnati and Dayton. And Brother Rigsby says salute. He's a Buckeye. But at any rate, we have been friends. I used to be in Indiana, so we would fellowship together back some 20-something years ago. And we are glad that he is here. He is now not pastor of that church. By the way, Brother Sixth and also the DePews are out of that church. And it's a great missions-giving, missionary-minded church. He's led them in that direction. But now God has enlarged his field of service. He's no longer a pastor there, but he's traveling around the world and speaking a lot of conferences. He's also the Independent Baptist Missions to Asians president and does a lot of missions work. There are many other things I could say, but we won't take up too much of his run while you come, Dr. Green. We're honored to have you with us.
Thank you, preacher. Wonderful to be here, and you reach a certain age, you're just glad to be most anywhere. But I have looked forward to this time for a great deal of months, and thank the Lord for the privilege and opportunity to be here and stand in Dr. Weaver's spot. It's good to see familiar faces. Thank God for them so very, very much. Thank God for friendship, to love our Lord, our God. To love God means you love what He loves. And one thing I do know, for God so loved the world, not just my spot, but a lot of spots all around the world. And thank the Lord that He includes us into His ministry and into His command and His commission. I want to thank Dr. Weaver for the privilege of being here. And I'll be honest with you, I think of strong mission churches. And I've been in a lot of churches that give a little bit, and they really don't have any kind of ministry or outreach, so to speak. But when I enter into a church that has a strong mission heart, I really wonder myself, what new can be said? What more can be said? And finally, I just settle on this, what needs to be said. Because I'll be honest with you, probably most everyone here tonight, you've heard it, and you've heard it, and then you've heard it again, and you're sitting here tonight and say, well, I'm going to hear it again. But God knows what you need to hear. And I'm trusting that is what God would allow me to say in the time that has been given to me. So I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to our Lord's Gospel according to Luke in chapter 14. Would you please? Luke chapter 14. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Then we will make our prayer. Then you can be seated, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I will develop these thoughts and trust in God to use them to make a difference. Look with me in Luke chapter 14, and we want to begin with verse 16, and we'll read verse 23. A very familiar portion of Scripture if you're a Bible student or even a casual reader. You've been in this place, so listen carefully. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. There explains a lot of things, but the bottom line reveals the heartbeat and the desire and the will and the want of God. And that is that there's always room for one more. He wants His house filled. And He's given the commission, the command to us to see to it that that is accomplished. My question to you tonight is, what part are you doing to help meet that need? Let's pray. Would you please, Lord Jesus, we love You. And our ability to love You is because You first loved us. And Father, thank You for allowing us to be in this place. And we're very careful, cautious, asking that we would watch our time, watch our words, help us to fulfill it wisely and carefully, not waste it. So, Father, I give You my life and ask that You would cleanse my thought, my very being, that, Lord, I can be held well in the hands of the Holy Spirit and wielded as He sees fit to accomplish that which needs to be done in the life and the heart of the hearer tonight. So, Lord, bring Your word to life. And treat it as though, dear God, that every individual here hears it individually, not necessarily collectively. Speak to our hearts one by one. And Father, do Your work. We're living in a time when the shades are drawing quickly. The darkness is upon us. But Father, the brighter the light, the darker the night. So, Lord Jesus, help us grasp Your truth and become obedient to it. I love You tonight. Thanks for loving me. Yes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I think about this portion of Scripture, it's something that I'm sure all of us have read more than once, many times. I've preached from it and through it and in it and around it many times through my many years of ministry. But there's some things we need to consider as we look at this portion of Scripture. And I want to just really kind of deposit them in your mind and in your heart tonight. We can't really develop them at great depth. But I want you to take them home and pray about them. Listen carefully and allow God to do His work in your life and in your heart. First of all, allow me to ask you something. Now, this is a rhetorical question. Don't answer it. Please don't. For two reasons, I don't want you to. Secondly, you could be wrong. And then thirdly, you don't need to answer it. But I always had a man, I had an old gentleman in our church years ago by the name of George Coldiron. I don't care what kind of rhetorical answer or question I asked, he answered out loud and 1,000 people heard what he had to say. Thankfully, he was most times right. But I was holding a missions conference down in Cincinnati a number of years ago and I asked this question. And one of the missionaries answered it, and he answered incorrectly. And please don't answer it. Just let me ask it, okay? And that is this. Listen very carefully. Would God have asked of us the impossible? Now, I'm going to answer that for you. The answer is no. Because the impossible is the impossible. It cannot be done. So God would not ask us to do something that cannot be done. So when He forms to us the commission or the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, God is not asking or giving a commandment to the church that is impossible to do. It is possible to do, and we are to do our part. Secondly, I want to ask you this. What is your thoughts? What is your idea? What is your philosophy of missions? Now, only you can answer that tonight. I can't answer what is in your heart, in your mind, but it is interesting to listen to what some people think about missions and missionaries and the part the church is to play in it and the part the individual is to play in it. I held a missions conference just not too many months ago over in Richmond, Indiana, and it was their first missions conference. And they asked me to come, and it was kind of really an interesting thing. We'll go into it, but it's really no mystery why it really didn't succeed very well once you knew what the situation was. But I was confronted by several leaders of the church after it was all over and said, we just don't believe that, and I'm sorry that you came and wasted your time. Well, I didn't waste my time. I just made them more accountable. And that's the situation. So allow me to ask, what is your position? What are your thoughts? What is your concerns? What is your philosophy, if you want to ask that way, concerning missions, missionaries, missionary conferences? That's an important consideration, because what you think about missions and missionaries is going to determine what this church does for the cause of Christ and fulfilling the mission of going into all the world to preach the gospel. And sometimes we think of it like this, am I included, or do I believe it? It's just for others. God wouldn't ask me to do that. My dear friend, I've got news for you. If God expects you to go across the street, it doesn't surprise me that God would expect you to go around the world. And it's really not mystery. It's just our willing to do what God would have us to do. Then sometimes we believe in our heart something like this: let them be them and let me be me. You know, why change anything? They're at peace, they're comfortable, they're doing well. Why should I upset their apple cart? Because God said their apple cart needs to be upset. That's the reason to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you realize this tonight? That the only thing in all the world, the only thing that ever make a difference in an individual and eternity is the gospel of the grace of God. You can take in all kinds of social reform and everything you want to, and it may change their method of living, but it'll never change their eternity. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Herald the truth. And then sometimes people think out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. That's one of the reasons I, as a pastor for many, many years, and we have two good examples of our missionaries and what comes out of grace, and thank the Lord for it, and Brother Tom's been there, and others have, and it's simply this, to motivate people to go there and see for themselves. See, Jeremiah put it this way: my eye affecteth my heart. I really don't understand the depth and the need until I smell it, taste it, see it, and experience it. One of the best things you'd ever do is go over there and see how they are. And my dear friend, they need the gospel, the grace of God. So how do I think about missions? Now, I want to give something to you just very, very, very quickly. I hear this often, and it's not critical to some, but it is critical to me. So I want to express it. Is missions to you a ministry or a program? I have people all the time talk about, our church has a great missions program. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for it. Because a missions program is exactly that. It's just something added to it. It's an addendum to the whole. But it's not necessarily any kind of a conviction that it needs to be done. But if it is ministry, that's life-changing. That's life-establishing. And until you or a church changes the fact that it is not necessary as far as a program, but our church has a ministry of mission. See, program usually has a beginning and ending. But a ministry, it's established. It's forever. It is till death do us part. It's until the trumpet sounds and the shout is made. How long am I in this thing? By the way, God, how long do you want me until the land is desolate and the house is without inhabitants? That's a pretty long time. And church, that's how long we're to be committed to it. This isn't just something you're going to do temporary. This is something you're committing your life to and this church to. And thank God for its history. See, program is a timed activity. It's a promotional type of a thing. But a ministry is an outreach that becomes the heartbeat or objective of an eternal accountability. This church will stand before God. And it will give an account, not for what it's doing just locally, but whether it has a world mission that wraps itself around the globe and sees it from God's perspective, and that He has given to us the responsibility to make a difference. I want you to listen to this statement, and I thought about it as a pastor for many years, and I kind of coined it, and I've made this statement even numbers of years ago when we were Mount Abiram down in Mexico City. I was one of the speakers to a lot of the preachers down there that year, and I made this statement. And here it is: every church and every pastor ought to look at the commission as though it is their single responsibility to to reach the world with the gospel. Can you imagine what would happen if every church and every pastor that loved God, believed in the commission, fulfilled that intention in their heart? What could be accomplished and done for Christ in this world if you took up on it the initiative to get it done? And then the second thing is, how do I think not only ministry versus program, but mind versus heart? We have a great mission-minded church. Well, it's got to start in the mind, but if it is never transferred to the heart, see, the heart is the motivator of our activity. You can sit and think and think and think about something, all you want to think about it, even if it is a good thought, but until it becomes a passion of the heart, it will never have a conviction behind it to push it into any kind of activity. A heart to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. See, my heart is what I think put into motion to give life and success to a given subject. See, missions involve several things. We've all heard it. You've heard it over and over again. Senders and the sent ones. And how that we can become the partners sent and taking this gospel to a lost and dying world. You know, the exciting thing is to know this. That I may not be able to go, but I can help send. And for what is accomplished through the efforts of that missionary, on my effort, I see that they get there, I'm part of the reward. I like that. You know, all of us can't go, but all of us can give to some portion, and all of us can pray. It would be amazing what we could do if we would just sit down and see how much money we waste on non-essentials in our life that doesn't give a hill of beans or a matter of anything, if we would just contribute that to the gospel and the cause of it around the world. We can become partners by helping others go and helping to give. Or how about this? I'll just go myself. I'll go myself. Now, somehow get this. Never be afraid of the will of God, dear people. Never be afraid of the will of God. You have the greatest protection of God in the will of God than you do out of the will of God. And sometimes people will say something like this. They'll say, but I don't want to go way over there. Or I don't want to especially go there because there's a lot of problems there. Hey, by the way, we live in America. Have you read the front page today? We're in a lot of trouble. This country of ours is a mess. And the only cure is Jesus Christ. See, the position many take is, I can't trust God with, or I can trust God with that which is eternal. I can trust God with my soul, but I can't trust Him with the temporal things. When you and I stop to realize all that I have belongs to Him anyway, it's easier to give it away. Amen. See, what's not mine, I can give away gladly, easily. Just put it in my hand and watch how fast it can go somewhere. And you know everything we have belongs to Him anyway, doesn't it? Everything we have. And if we just simply give it to God, He gives the increase. It's easy to give away not what's not mine. So as we look at the theme of this missions conference, and Brother Steve set the pace last night, let me give to you just some real simple, quick things very quickly. And my time is coming to an end. Since 1960, the world's population has more than doubled. I'm told it's somewhere around 6 to 7 billion people and growing every day. There's 66 nations that fit in the 1040 window. And of the world's 50 least evangelic and evangelized countries, 37 of those countries comprise 97% of the unreached people of our world. Can you imagine that? And then in the 1040 continues, 82% of the world's poorest people, 2.4, nearly 3 billion, live within that, and 40% of them makes up the 40 or of the world's population. Now, how can the Great Commission be accomplished? What can you do about it? You're going to make a decision this week. You are. Right now, you're determined what you're going to do and what part you're going to play in Faith Promise Missions at Worth Baptist Church. You're going to determine that. Now, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to go home, forget it, or you're going to pray about it. You're honestly going to press before God and say, I want to know what part you want me to play. Now, know this. There's several things I want you to know, and I'm going to close here in a minute. You put your shoes back on, we'll leave. first of all, know that you're part of God's command. God did not go any, meeny, miny, mo, and you're left out and you're included. No, God says if you're mine, you're included in this process, in this program. Whether you're young, you're old, you're in the middle, wherever you're at, you're part of God's business. And God is sending you and God is including you in some perspective, some part of His ministry. What part is it? I'm going to tell you this. It's for you to determine whether God wants you to go, whether God wants to help to send, or whether God wants you to settle and say, I'm going to give this. This is my part. And then secondly, know that you're to be obedient to the command. Hear my Lord, send me. We're to be obedient to that. See, it's not a matter of a question. It's not a matter of whether you want to. It's a matter of you being obedient to it. Amen. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You know, I was scared to death of what God was wanting to do with my life. I was raised in the holiness movement. And finally I understood the grace of God and met a young girl. Daddy was an independent Baptist preacher and he started teaching me the truth. And when God began to stir my heart about ministry, I knew finally in all the hundreds of thousands of years in eternity past, God made His first mistake. But oh, what a venture it's been through these years. Thank God that it reached deeper than my own will and it was stronger than my own strength. And one night coming broken to the front of the church, I asked and yielded myself to the will of God in my life. I'm part of that commission as you are as well. And then know that your participation can and will make a difference. It will make a difference. See, don't put yourself in comparison. Don't try to say, well, I can't give what they... You don't have to worry about that. There was a little boy one day that all he had was a lunch. That's all he had. He didn't have enough to feed the thousands. But placed in the hands of God, it's amazing what God can do. Little as much. Lord, I don't know what I can give, but what I have, I'll give it to you. And then watch God breathe upon it and multiply it and cause great things to be done with it. Oh, the fulfillment of the Great Commission is going to be determined. He said, but preacher, I give and I have been giving and I do participate. Well, God bless your heart. Keep participating and see what your participation has done in the past and what it can do tomorrow by saying, I'm going to give just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Sometimes the dollar makes the difference, doesn't it? We found that as an issue of life. But maybe you're new. Maybe you're a young Christian. Maybe you've come from a church that's never been part of a missions ministry to where they teach faith promise. And it's all new to you. Listen carefully as these precious missionaries give out their appeal and reveal to you what God is doing through their lives and where He's sending them. And that He is allowing you to be part of that, making a difference. Listen, let's get in on the ground floor. Let's give ourselves as we listen to these nights and listen to the Word of God, little as much when God is in it. See, in our text, we find there that... they're sent, but there's all kinds of questions in that text and excuses. That's all that was there. My dear friend, God doesn't honor excuse. He honors obedience. Obedience. And yet there is still room. Will you make a difference to help send one more, or you go as one more, or you participate to help get one more? Father, we pray in Jesus' name your blessings upon the challenge of the Word of God. Somehow breathe upon this lesson tonight that would bring life, thus it would bring forth fruit. And Father, make a difference in the ministry of missions at Worth Baptist. Awaken our hearts, stir our spirit. And Father, may we not be comfortable. May we be somewhat miserable until we just stop before and sit at the feet of Jesus and say, God, do your will through me. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.